This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
To work with us on your podcast, go to soundrebel.co.uk. Over the Influence is no longer just a podcast. Our online community is buzzing with people like you.
Hi, it's Danny. I'm 45. I'm from Manchester. I joined the OTI community in October 21. I was sceptical at first because I'm not on any sort of social media, and I've been in a couple of other very large online sober communities before. I was amazed right from the offset at the involvement that Shaz and Ben have in the community. I thoroughly enjoy the Zoom calls, and I've met some pretty good pals along the way that I didn't realise I was in the market for. We've been out for hikes. It's just great. I've been in touch with like-minded people, and it really has been a game changer. So I'd encourage anybody to give it a go.
You've heard the podcast. Now join the conversation. Go to overtheinfluence.co.uk.
Welcome to this week's episode of Over the Influence. It is really, really good to have you listening. If you are maybe tuning in for the first time, allow us a quick reintroduction as to who we are. My name is Sharon Hartley. Everybody calls me Shaz or Shazza, based in Lancashire in the northwest of England. I've been saying for a while now that I'm like 5.5 years alcohol free. 5.5 years alcohol free. In September, I'll be six. I think I'm going to start saying that now. Nearly 6 years alcohol free. Because it's still dead good. It's still really exciting. I'm still really chuffed I did it. And I still feel mega, mega proud. In a nutshell, I drank far too much, too quickly, too often. Far too much for me. Wasn't heading in the best direction. So I thought, you know what? Slap bang in the middle of my 40s. I'm going to take a break from alcohol. That was, well, 5.5, 6 years ago, best thing I ever did. And then I hit my 50s, just loving life. It's just so, so much better than when I started my 40s. Anyway, I'm wanging on. We're here to talk to today's guest. Hold that thought. We'll introduce him in just a sec. I do not do this on my own. Ben Anderson, how the hell are you?
Hi. Fine, thank you. Ben, 35, live in Liverpool. I'm 4 years alcohol free next month, and I stopped drinking because Shaz told me to. I started producing this podcast and I was a drinker, and I started listening to it and thinking, oh, maybe I should take a break. A 3 month break became a 6 month break, became a 12 month break, and it was on day 366 that I realised that alcohol really had been stopping me from reaching my full potential as everything, as a partner, as a business owner, as a friend, literally as an everything. Alcohol was stopping me from reaching my full potential, and I really don't miss it. Nearly 4 years, can't believe that.
Changes, doesn't it? You do get to the point where you don't miss it. I look back now and I think, oh God, oof, never again, never again. Just remind our fantastic listener what you did on day 366, Ben, when you had the evidence.
I looked at the data, which always makes you laugh. But I did. I had a full year of data then, you know, a birthday, Christmases, Jem's birthday, lads camping trips, like everything I would do in a normal calendar year, I'd done. And I could see that actually non-drinker me was handling life much better than drinker me ever did. So, you know, it was just, it's evidence. And it was just plain and simple. It was there in front of me, and the choice was therefore easy.
Love that. Brilliant. I love the fact you're so analytical. I assessed the data and I went into year two armed with all this colour-coded information.
Cool. Now we stop taking the piss out of me. Can we start talking to the guest?
Yeah, go on then. Okay. I'm really enjoying this. And by the looks of it, our guest is as well. obviously, this podcast is all about the guests. Week in, week out, we speak to, oh, crikey, absolutely loads of different people from all walks of life. And the one thing they've got in common is that they all removed alcohol and are absolutely nailing it. Chuffed a bits to welcome Alex Clapp from Nantwich in Cheshire. Well, posh, that county, to the podcast today. Alex is also going to talk about a group that he's set up, Clarity, but more on that shortly. Alex, welcome to the podcast. How the hell are you?
Really good, really good. Thank you very much. Thank you both for having me. What a lovely introduction. Life is good. Life is good. I'm just coming up to nearly 21 months clean and sober. and life is amazing, to be honest. Life is absolutely amazing. And I loved what Ben was saying then about the data. I actually think that is amazing. And it might be something that I'll actually go and actually have a look at. Maybe I'll go and have a look at the last 21 months and just compare what my life was like in various different situations compared to what those 21 months have been like. Because I actually think that is a really powerful bit of information. It really is. So yeah, thank you very much.
I feel really guilty now for taking the piss out, Ben.
Yeah.
No, don't feel guilty. It was funny, but I actually took a really good, powerful takeaway from it, actually, because I thought to myself, that is actually very powerful, because what we don't do is we don't allow ourselves probably to focus on all the things to be grateful for enough, is it? You know, we don't focus on, you know, those small little wins, the steps that we've taken, you know, the achievements that we've done, whether it's going on holiday for the first time without alcohol, going, you know, to a wedding for the first time without alcohol, going to whatever without alcohol. It's all big steps, and it feels alien, especially, you know, to me. I drank for best part of getting on for 30 years before, obviously, I gave up. And I didn't give up through choice. So that's the biggest thing. You know, if I had the choice, I'd not been in such a mess, obviously I don't think I would have chosen. So it was almost perverse for me, because it was because I was a full-blown alcoholic, you know, and basically I had to do something about it. So I guess it's a different story, isn't it? It's a different story when you're in the depths of despair and you have to, you know, find a way through it. It's different, but again, amazing. Amazing to be out the other side, and it's amazing to be able to see things clearly. It is really, really exciting. And I'm excited about the future. I'm excited about everything. I'm very bubbly and lively, and I've definitely got all sorts of ADHD or all sorts of different things. My mental health is still crazy, but I love that.
How often do we hear that? Oh my God, with community members, with guests on the podcast, remove the booze and the substances, and then it's just uncovered, isn't it? Exactly who we are. We've got so much to talk about. Let's go back then, pre-21 months. You mentioned that you're 21 months clean and sober, which, big up your bad self. That's absolutely amazing. What did life look like for you prior to that, Alex? Because as you touched on there, you said this wasn't really your choice to do this, or if it had been, you wouldn't have gone for it.
Well, do you know what? It was my choice in the end. In the end, it was my choice, because only I could make that choice. You know, only I could do what I needed to do to get myself out of that hole. Nobody else, no matter what anybody else said to me, it didn't matter. It did not matter, you know, whoever said anything, my son, my family, my loved ones, whatever anybody else said to me, I didn't listen. I didn't listen, and I had to make that choice for myself. So I guess, long story short, I've always been a social drinker, and I've always loved a drink. You know, previously grew up in an era of drank as much as you could, as quickly as you could, and the person who was the most pissed was the funniest, basically. I had some health problems about 6-7 years ago, and that's when things began to spiral for me. And I've lost the sight 90% of my left eye, and nearly lost the sight in my right eye as well, but they've managed to stabilise my right eye now, and things are quite stable. So it was a big shift, and I have always been a guy's guy, where you don't speak about your emotions, you lock everything in. Yeah, you know, to the outside world, you basically, everything's fine. You know, basically, I have to be the head of the family. I have to be the one who's strong enough for everybody else. I have to deal with everybody else's problems, and I'm not allowed to have any feelings or emotions. And eventually, that broke me down, and, you know, I was in a terrible place. I reached the point a couple of years ago, where, being totally honest, I didn't care whether I was here or not, didn't care whether I was alive or didn't care whether I was dead. I didn't fear death at all. I was like, I'm not asked. Genuinely, I'm not bothered if I went tomorrow or tonight. And that was probably the rock bottom, you know, where I think one of my friends heard me, you know, describing that, and really, you know, I think that was the moment when everybody rallied round and told me I was going back into rehab again, because it wasn't just once I went. So I've been to a few different rehabs and ended up being privileged, I would say, of spending 5 months in total in different rehabs around the world. And because I'm a bit different, I chose to go to my first rehab and spend in Ibiza. And everyone takes a piss and says, only you could go to rehab in Ibiza.
We shouldn't laugh because that is not funny. However,
it is.
I can see it's a bit of an oxymoron, though.
Calling
you a moron here, Alex. But I've never been to Ibiza, but apparently there is you've got the party side of the island, and then you've also got the kind of the lovely let's manifest side of the island. It sounds like more like our bag.
Look, it's a journey, isn't it? Sometimes life is a journey, and I remember think back to it, it was ridiculous. I remember getting off the plane to go to rehab and I had an absolute skinful, and the guy was picking me up, I was trying to convince him to take me out around
before I went in.
Yeah, it was like, I know, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. But that was the space I was in. That was the headspace I was in, where it was just like using anything and everything to run away and hide, block out what's going on, not allow myself to have any feelings, any emotions, anything. So, yeah, I can laugh about it now. I can laugh about it now. Because it's ironic, some of it is. It's just like, and I think back to some of the stuff that I went through or that I did, and it was like, oh my God, what were you doing? Honestly, what were you doing? And, but the hardest thing for me was that it is a progressive illness, and no matter what you feel or you think yourself, it gets worse, and it creeps up on you and it hits you like a wet fish in the face, and that rabbit hole only goes one way. I've met probably hundreds if not thousands of people in recovery in the last few years now, and I don't know anybody who's managed to beat alcoholism. And I describe it as a barometer, having a barometer, and once you reach a certain point, it's like the point of no return. So within your brain, once you carry on pushing and pushing and pushing the addiction, once you reach that point, there is no going back. So for me, there is never any going back. I can't, go back now, or I couldn't go back anyway, ever. I will be an addict alcoholic for the rest of my life, but that's okay. That's okay. I'm perfectly happy with that. I've got a life, I've got an existence, I've got more than an existence. I've got a life, I had an existence, and now I've got a life again. And I'm starting again, like it's like being born again, I guess, because I've got feelings, I've got emotions. I tell the truth, whether it gets me in trouble or not, I tell the truth. Yeah, man, it's just like, starting again, effectively. So it's interesting. But my mental health is, I work on myself every single day. Every single day I'll have like a little check-in with myself and, process what I've done that day, roll it through. Have I been angry? Have I been, off with somebody? Do I need to make amends? Do I need to, go, actually, I was a bit of a knob then, let's just go and say sorry because it's the right thing. And it's almost trying to find that inner peace, doing everything right myself. And that's, I describe it to my son and he's 19 now. He's just flown off to Thailand to go traveling for a month after his first year of uni. So, but we're very close these days. We always were, except for when I was in my despair. And I describe it to him as like Kung Fu Panda, finding your inner peace. It's literally, that's where.
Such a good film, that.
That's how I describe it.
So good.
Oh, it is. It's amazing. It's amazing. And that is genuinely how I describe it. For the first X amount of years of my life, I don't think I realised. I didn't know who I was. I didn't know what I actually liked. You know, I just did everything that I was supposed to do or that I perceived I was supposed to do. And I tried to keep everybody else happy because I thought if I keep everyone else happy, that will make me happy. Yeah, it was like, it's weird that the actual strength comes from looking after yourself first. But then we all think or perceive that that's selfish, when in fact, it's not selfish.
Self-awareness because is if you're massively important, isn't it?
Yeah. Of course it is. Yeah, it's like, you know, and that age-old saying, you know, that if you don't look after yourself, you can't look after anybody else. And it's so true.
I've got a saying that I think you're quite like, Alex. Just before I forget it, when you're talking about your barometer, our mate Claire Pooley, I like saying that because she's like a worldwide famous author now, but she's our mate Claire Pooley. She said, once a cucumber becomes a pickle, it can never be a cucumber again. And I really like that one.
And that, yeah, that is absolutely bob on.
I think it helps a lot of people that, you know, that just that kind of self-awareness, that acceptance to go, got you, right, fuck. I'm a pickle.
Yeah.
I'm a pickle.
Yeah. You know. But I'm a proud pickle.
I'm glad you are. I'm glad you're a proud pickle, Alex. Alex,
pickles
can I ask you...
Pickles and pandas. I love it.
We should call this episode Pickles and Pandas.
Definitely. Yeah, Pickles and Pandas.
Alex, can I ask about your rock bottom? Because you said that, you know, by speaking about it, people in your life went, right, Alex, need to do something about this. If you'd not spoken about it, do you think that those people in your life would have looked at you and gone, he's at rock bottom?
Yeah. I think it was, I'll be honest, it was building to a crescendo effectively anyway. You know, my mum was ringing my brother saying, I'm waiting for a phone call to say he's dead. You know, it's, you know, I was going missing for days. You know, I was basically just, you know, my son came round to the house and I'd have bottles of everything everywhere and just, you know, making excuses. You know, I was on a one-way train effectively. And yeah, near the end, it was just getting to that point of, and it becomes self-destruction. It really does, because, you know, you're almost... you just focus on self-pity, you know, and all the negatives, and you just go down that rabbit hole of and just carry on going. And it's easier to keep in that space than it is to get yourself out of it at the beginning. Getting yourself out of it takes a bit more oomph and a little bit of hard work at the beginning. But God, is it worth it? God, is it worth it? Is it worth, you know, facing those uncomfortable moments at the beginning? Is it worth going through the little bit of a detox? Yes, 100% it is.
Did you know that though, Alex, at the time? Because you know, you've said, and we've spoken to, like, you now, we've had hundreds of hours of conversations about this, and, you know, the in what's the word, Shaz, that I can never remember? Not, is it insidious? The insidious nature of it.
It is insidious.
You know, one glass becomes two. Like, you don't always notice that you're on that track. Do you know what I mean? Like, did you have that awareness where you were going, right, got to sort this out?
I battled with myself a little bit, and I didn't want to give up.
Yeah.
I didn't want to stop drinking. At that time, I loved the drink because the drink was my best friend. You know, when anything was uncomfortable, my best friend was the drink, because the drink just basically numbed any feelings or any thoughts and just quieted my mind down. And it was my escapism. So no matter what was going on in my life at that time, you know, 3 or 4 bottles of wine later, I didn't have a care in the world. You know, it was basically a way of just, you know, self-medicating and running away from it all. Did I have a realization that the other side would look better? No, definitely not. I, you know, probably pretended in my head that the other side would be like dreadful and be really boring, and that, you know, my life wouldn't. What's the point if I can't drink and I can't do go out and do all this that I've done for so many years?
It's so true that the amount of people myself included, people in this community, people listening to the podcast, people are like, oh God, I'm going to take a break from alcohol. I'm going to prove it's not an issue. It's fine. I'm just going to take this really boring, crappy break and it's going to be the worst thing ever. And then I'm going to get right back on it. I didn't want to stop drinking. This was not part of the plan. I wasn't supposed to be 5.5 years sober. I was meant to be back on it. And yet, until you go through it, and it's like stating the bloody obvious, you don't know what's on the other side of it, do you? You've literally got no idea. And why would you? Because you said to us not so long ago, Alex, that you weren't asked. You weren't asked about death. So you're not going to be fired up thinking, oh, sobriety is going to be great, are you? Quite the flipping opposite.
Yeah, it certainly wasn't. And to be fair, you hear other people speak about it sometimes. And, you know, they can be passionate and, you know, upbeat. And well, I was probably a skeptic, being honest. I was probably a skeptic going, yeah, no, it's boring. And there is still that massive stigma that sober is boring. And there is this big stigma, and it's almost that isn't going to change anytime soon. That is, you know, it's getting better. It's getting better. And I think we're on a good journey of that. But there is still years and years where everybody, you know, everybody's perception of somebody who's sober is the one person who's not drinking in the pub. Oh God, they're boring, aren't they? Or, you know, the one person, and that's the instant thought that people go to, you know, from the years of conditioning of brains. I don't know, you know, it's whatever it is, but it's still there. It's the stigma is still there. And I think that's what I had in my head, you know, when I was thinking about if I had to stop drinking, that it was going to be boring.
This is why our community exists. These podcasts exist. We sing about sobriety. You know, Ben will quite often say, our mission is to normalise sobriety. But there is still stigma there, obviously. You know, it's boring, you don't drink. You must be boring. Oh, it must be crap. We know it's the opposite. We know it's the opposite of that. So big question for you, Alex. Somebody's listening to this, you know, still drinking, maybe in a bit of a hole with it, thinking exactly those thoughts. Sobriety's crap. It's going to be boring. Redefine that then. How does your sobriety look? What has it meant to you?
Okay, so if somebody was in that situation, yeah, I would challenge them to do something different, because we've all got a choice. Yeah, I have got a choice today whether I choose to drink or not. And to what you guys are both saying, where try doing something different, try and do a couple of different things without alcohol. So whether it's go on a camping trip with your mates, whether it's, you know, go on a big walk to the beach and have a family barbecue, whether it's go on a night out with some friends but don't drink, choose to try something different and have a comparison. Have a comparison, because I truly believe up to the age of 13, I never had a drop of alcohol, and I had fun. I laughed, proper belly laughs. I danced. I was stupid. You know, I engaged. I had great conversations, and I had loads of friends and loads of fun, and I socialized. So had I not had alcohol, would I have been boring? No. Would my life have been, you know, better? Yeah, I actually think it would have been. And I would have known what I was doing when I was doing it, what I've said, and I would have been able to remember most things that I can't. So, yeah, I guess I would throw it out there, you know, that we've all got a choice. And until you make a choice to try something, you can't judge. I don't think that you can judge until you've tried something. And I'm going to give Ben a bit more kudos here, that he's got the stats from reviewing a year of sobriety, and he's looked at it and he's compared it and he's gone, so I've tried it. If it was absolutely poo, he wouldn't have carried on doing it. But in fact, he's looked at what it's done for his life and he's gone, well, actually, this is amazing. I'm loving it. And there's loads of added benefits and there's loads of positives. And I want to carry on doing it because life is better.
Yeah.
And that's very powerful in itself, isn't it?
Yeah. And, you know, definitely, like, we are we're very focused on you give up one thing and you gain so much more. You know, the kind of the philosophy of OTI is a very positive one. It's about looking forward. At the same time, you know, Alex, cards on the table, I wasn't a dependent drinker by the time that I gave up booze, but God, I was doing some stupid things and making some terrible choices. It makes me think back to one of the very first episodes of OTI we ever recorded 4 years ago now, with Drew, the rock star, the drummer.
Love Drew.
Where he said, every bad decision I ever made started with one beer. And that was me. You know, I would just wake up the next day and go, why did you say that? Why did you do that? You know, Jem takes me on holiday to New York for my 30th. What an amazing girlfriend she was at the time. And I start this huge row on the last night. And then on the flight back, we've got terrible memories of this fucking amazing thing that she did for me. Like, we got a guy now who was in our community early doors called Wise Tim. And his phrase was, I didn't have a rock bottom, but I could see it from where I was standing. And I think that was me. And, you know, through OTI, Shaz, yeah, one of our things is normalised sobriety, definitely. But I think another thing for me that I'm always really, really trying to find the answer to is a Desmond Tutu quote that I love, which is, we've got to stop pulling people out the river and go upstream and find out why they're falling in. It's all about early intervention for me. I will stop talking in a minute, but it all links in.
His quotes board is massive, Alex. We should have come with a disclaimer when we started recording.
Sorry, got I know.
Quotes board, and he will wheel them out at any given opportunity.
I don't even need to look at the board. They're just in my brain now. I said them so much. But do you remember when we interviewed Sean Weiss, the Mighty Duck?
Yes.
Did you ever watch the Mighty Ducks, Alex?
Yeah.
So he was Goldberg, the goalie, right? Yeah. Sean was. And we were talking to him. And he said, because his mom had just died and he was on the
so
way.
Tragic.
Yeah. But do you remember his exact words were that he went past the liquor store and he had a conversation with himself where he said, if you go in and do this now, this is going to be a very long road to recovery. But he still went in and he still got that bottle. Yeah. I think the thing that, I mean, we will move on to the positive, great things that you're doing now. I just want to ask a little bit more, trying to unlock the answer to that question. How do you get people to listen to themselves? Because if more of us listen to that little voice that's going, this is going the wrong way, like, come on, like exactly what you said, putting in that kind of, it's hard to do it, but you know that you've got to. What can we do to encourage more people to do that and listen earlier?
I do a bit of work with Alcohol Change at the moment, and I do some like podcasts and, you know, not podcasts, I do some webinars and some stuff with them. And what we're doing at the moment is we're trying to educate people in the workplace, and, you know, we're trying to basically show them some warning signs, show them some different things. And for me, you're right in terms of once you get to that 11th hour, so to speak, those aren't the people that we're massively going to be able to turn around, because, you know, they will have reached rock bottom, and that is a really dangerous that time. You know, we do need to intervene before. And for me, it's about educating people that actually this is a mind-altering substance that you're just thrown into your body, and you're doing things that you've got no idea what you're doing. You are not being yourself. You know, somebody who is drunk and is, you know, intoxicated with alcohol isn't their authentic self. They're not basically doing, you know, something they would do completely stone cold sober. And I think it's the realization of that it's a drug, but it's also a depressant. You know, it's also a depressant. So if you carry on putting a depressant into your body, you know, what do we actually expect? But all this information and all this actual reality around alcohol doesn't exist because of all the money that they make from it. That's my belief, because they, you know, they make it all sound, you know, amazing, and that alcohol's the best thing since sliced bread, and, you know, all the parties and every occasion is always associated with alcohol. And I actually, and this is only my personal belief now, but I actually believe if there was no alcohol in this world now, if they tried to bring alcohol to the world, they wouldn't be allowed to do it. It wouldn't get approved. It would not get approved. And that is my God's honest truth. And I'm like, but, you know, it's so right, because you're not going to, you know, you're not going to change everybody's view. And I would be a hypocrite. I'm an alcoholic and I'm an addict, alcoholic. And if I was to say to somebody, don't drink, then I'm a hypocrite. Whereas what I'm saying is make a choice. Make a choice to try it. Make a choice to go to a night where there's no alcohol. See how you feel. Make a choice to, you know, compare what a weekend with alcohol with the kids looks like compared to what a weekend without alcohol with the kids looks like. You know, give yourself something to measure it against and make an informed choice. Because if you've got children, I can 100% tell you that when you don't drink, it is miles easier than when you've got a stinking hangover, you know, to cope with the kids, or when you, all you want to do is just drink and ignore them and push them to one side and all you focus on is the alcohol. It's completely different. So my son's at uni and I see his generation is actually a lot better. They're more educated. They've got more awareness. There isn't that need for as many of them to be the most drunk person in the room. And he drinks, but he drinks probably once every couple of weeks. You know, he can go to the pub and have two pints and that's enough. Then I look at him and I go, oh, how do you do that? I could never have done that. I could never have done that in my life. If I'd had two pints, it would be see you Sunday. So it's one of those situations. It's changing, but the more that we can educate people, for me, you know, the more powerful, definitely. And the more that people are open to trying or making a change, because every positive thing starts with a small change.
Before we move on to our next line of questioning, have you seen that Judy has put something quite fabulous in the chat box? I need to check with you, Judy. Is this an official quote? Is this a you quote? Because I'm going to nick it. She said, you think it, then you feel it, then you do it, then you be it. Also, I heard. I like that. Deep. That's lovely, Judy. That is deep. Love that. Let's talk about then, Alex. We talked about the past. Let's talk about where you are now and your hopes and dreams for the future, because life is very different now, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, look, I'm excited. I describe it as that I went upstairs. I don't know which side I went to, but the person who I met looked at me and went, you're very annoying. You're not coming in yet. Back you go. And I got sent back downstairs. So I actually decided that, just because I was going to be in recovery, my life was not going to be boring, as people, you know. So I decided, right, what is that's not out there is a big, really fun, powerful, alcohol-free. I'm going to take the word sober away. I'm going to take the word sober away, because we called one of the parts of it Club Sober, and I've changed it to Club Clarity, because it was basically stigma. The stigma is still around that sober word.
I agree with you. I say I'm alcohol free rather than sober.
We've got progress to make over the years, and in years to come, there will be it's in my remit to get that sober word back in many years to come. But at this time in life, we're not there yet. So I said it wasn't going to be boring. I'm going to set up a company doing alcohol free events. So I went and spoke to a great friend of mine, Bern, who we've trained together and done loads of stuff together for 20 odd years. He's an amazing guy, taught martial arts and done lots of events, lots of shows. So I said to him, right, I want to set up a company. I want to do a big corporate sober events, corporate alcohol-free events. So we set it up January 2023. Last year, we did three big events. We did St. George's Hall in Liverpool, and we did two big corporate events in Manchester, the Lowry Hotel. 350 people, 250, 250 each time. The whole night, no alcohol, all alcohol free. We had people doing a sober conga at 7 at night. We had everyone dancing. We had...
I love it was half 7 and not half 2 in the morning. I'm loving it.
Yeah. You've got to find a balance.
Absolutely.
You've got to find a balance. But we bought in gameplay, so you're all playing games, competing for points, prizes against each other, inspirational speakers, raised loads of money for different charities. NACOA, National Organization of Children of Alcoholics, we're working closely with Alcohol Change. So yeah, it's like bringing everyone dead positive, dead upbeat. And then we got to the end of last year and we're still doing the corporate stuff. But I said to Ben, it's not enough. It's not enough. I'm an addict. This isn't enough. I want to do it for absolutely everybody in the world. So I've set out on a mission and we've formed Club Clarity. And at the moment, we're across the Northwest. So we do Manchester, Liverpool, Chester. We do bi-monthly nights where we bring people together and have live DJs, live performers. Again, we do a bit of our gameplay where you're playing games for points or against each other. So it might be that you're having a game of darts, it might be that you're playing Jenga, whatever. It's about engaging, getting rid of people's inhibitions and getting people to be willing to chat. Last month, we had 60 people do an hour's sober salsa dance thing, and that was really good fun. Because everybody engaged from the ages of 18 to 70.
I want to come and dance.
Honestly.
You can let me know how that one is, I think. I totally get that some people will love that. I personally don't fancy that one. The DJ's night I'm in for, but I'll let you do the Shazza can do the salsa ring on behalf of both of us.
Absolutely.
Do you know what was dead nice? We did one of the Chester ones the other month. We had four pilots from Denmark or something staying in the hotel. Only young lads, only like, not old. And they came to it. And one of them came up to me at the end and said, I am going to practice my dancing in the mirror. I will see you next time.
Brilliant. I love that.
And I remember that. I was like, that is absolutely amazing. So when you think it's not for you, everybody joined in and you all got to go around different partners, and it was very basic. It's very basic and it was just good fun.
I should open my mind, push myself out of my comfort zone.
Absolutely. Don't be so closed,
1,000,000%. Yeah, 1,000,000%.
Yeah.
So we're doing these, taking it to London as well. I mean, I've got plans. I want to be across, all of the UK. Want to do some big alcohol-free parties, wellness festivals. Want to do eventually some... I want to do like a Glastonbury alcohol-free eventually. I'm telling you all my plans for
awesome.
Yeah. Five to 10 years. But
and look, if you need a pub quiz host, I know a northern bird with a big gob. We can throw her into a few
How
of these.
Rude. How dare you? I'm there, Alex, whatever you need.
You would love it.
Tap
you would
me up.
Love it.
Absolutely.
We're gonna do the music round.
Come on, roll up.
Let's do a quiz night at one of our nights. Let's do a quiz hour. And you come and host it.
Can I make a suggestion? This is something I've always wanted to do, and I'm seeing it happen now, but I've not seen it in this area. But I apologise if somebody else is already doing this. Please, can you put on in the afternoon an alcohol-free like rave that just takes us back to the early 90s? Please.
We did one in Manchester.
Oh, for crying out loud. Why did you not know about this? Can you do
it? We did one. So we collaborated the other Saturday. We did Our World 4 p.m. till 9 o'clock in Manchester in Club Vision. We had about 300 people there. And it was literally three different floors in a club. It was amazing.
Right. Okay. Ben, production meeting live on air at the moment. OTI Christmas party this year.
Definitely.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so excited.
Honestly, I feel like Alex has come into our life just at the right time. Can
he was
you believe
sent to us.
On our premium podcast, we were literally just having the conversation. There's a bit doing the rounds this week, Alex, about how drinking before getting on a flight is bad for you. Can you believe it?
Surprise.
Because of the air pressure and the heart rate, etc. So we were talking about how, well, looks like we just need to set up an alcohol-free airline then called OTI Fly. No, Fly OTI.
That's it. Catchy maybe, ass.
And you know what? We thought this is just a pipe dream, but you've come into our life just at the right time because you seem like a guy with big ambitions too. So,
and he knows some dancing pilots. We're all
and he knows, oh my God, it's meant to be.
dead easy. We just plug everybody together and we're away. Yeah.
Fly OTI, great.
Yeah, we're also just doing the UK's first all-company alcohol-free awards night as well. In September, we're doing a big thing for Steps Together, a rehab centre across the UK. So we've brought all their staff. They've got about 150 staff, and then we're bringing about 150 other people, and anybody can come. Anybody can come. You know, it's black tie. Anybody can come and experience the corporate big, you know, event effectively, with some celebrities going to be there, all different people, all our clarity buzz put on it all, the magic sprinkled on it all. But it is going to be the UK's first alcohol-free company event, company awards night. So I'm quite proud of that as well.
And you know what? I can only imagine like the feeling in that room with all these people. For whatever reason, the journeys, the stories, the backstories, now completely alcohol-free, sober, whatever it might be. Oh, I can just feel it now, the buzz, the excitement.
I can feel the buzz. And the award for alcohol-free podcast of the year goes to Sober Dave, one for the road. Yeah. Oh, fucking Sober Dave again. I would like to accept this award. I'm delighted to get another award. Don't tell him anyone. Don't tell him that I do an impression of him.
No, it's a good impression. It's a good impression, though.
He's uncanny. Yeah. Uncanny. Yeah. Cracking podcast, by the way. Yeah. Absolutely brilliant
podcast. Yeah.
Alex, from where you were, you know, more than, what was it, 21 months ago, to where you are now, dear Lord. I mean, it's quite the ride, isn't it?
Yeah, I would say it's a journey. But I've been sent to do it. I believe that. And I live my life now with a certain whatever's meant to be is meant to be. And I have to show, and everything that I go through is a lesson for me now. So I can honestly say a year ago, I wanted to be across the world and I wanted to be in every single county doing, you know, all these things. And I've had to slow right back and go, okay, let's take my time. Take my time. If that's my lesson at the moment, let's just be patient. One day at a time, you know, just keep being positive and keep doing good things and keep on enjoying it. But yeah, it's amazing. Yeah, my life is amazing. My life is amazing. And I'm excited to see what is going to come in the coming years, really. It's an exciting place to be. And I've got a lot of ambition. Yeah, I've got a lot of ambition, but I've got to just take my time. And I love trying to help people as well, you know, because I think that is so important. I think if you've walked in somebody else's shoes and you know, that real sense of rock bottom, or, you know, that sense of, you know, if you can inspire one or two people, if each person can do that, then that's an amazing and powerful thing. So that's my hope and goal as well, really.
Amazing. Alex, I'm so, so glad that we have finally got to chat. As Ben said, it was meant to be. I could foresee some hopefully good stuff happening with Clarity and you and OTI in the future when it comes to our events, because we do like hiking and stuff like that. But we've had some people get in touch and say, you know what, not everybody wants to go up a blooming mountain, and we're like, no, you're right, let's do some alcohol.
I feel the same way. I'm bloody doing Ben Nevis in July. Yeah, what am I doing that for?
Get your boots on, crack on. Alex, before you go, just let people know where they can find out more information about the amazing work that you do.
So obviously we've got Clarity website, which is TEE. We've got Club Clarity, which is again TEE, which is on Instagram, Facebook, all different, I think, I don't know. I'm like, I just.
It'll be out there somewhere.
Yeah, it'll be out there somewhere. But yeah, no, and you know, we have always got, and we will always have amazing events throughout the year. And anybody who wants to come and try any of our events, you know, whether it's one ticket, whether it's, you know, 500 tickets, whatever, you know, get in touch. You know, we will accommodate anybody, and anybody who's coming for the first time on their own, we will make sure that we look after you, because that's what we do. Effectively, we're all about, you know, trying to bring communities of good people together. So yeah, it's exciting. It's exciting. We will definitely organise a big event for you guys, for just you guys and all your followers as well, because we'd love to do that. We can do a collab one where we do it together.
Ben, I'm so excited, genuinely so excited. There's the dancing. I want to do karaoke. I want to do bingo calling, quiz night, anything. Do you do bingo? Why did I just say that? I don't even know why that came out.
I think we should agree now that we do a quiz night at a couple of upcoming events. Just a quiz night, just for an hour, so we mix it up, so you've got a bit of everything still.
Like,
and you're going to be the quiz host. Thanks very
I'm
much.
There. I've thanks for this. I'm loving it. Excited. Alex Clapp, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us on Over the Influence.
My pleasure. Thank you both very much for having me. It's been a pleasure. Thank you.